us. We see the evil. We see the anger, the hatred. Father, I pray that we know that you are the ultimate controller of this world. And we know that all of this that is going on, you have in your thoughts and in your hearts and plans. God, even though we can't make sense of it, we do know that we can trust you. And Father, today as we study, as we learn more about you, may we claim every day all we want is you. And God, I just thank you for the truth of that song and for the mindset that it puts us in as we come to your throne, as we come to your feet and we sit and listen to what you have today. God, we thank you. We praise you in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. As we start our time this morning, again, looking at the Lord's table, you know, one of the things that you and I are able to have because of who he is we have this, as we've been talking about this freedom, we've been talking about the ability that you and I have to be able to live a life that goes beyond what the world can live, goes beyond what the world understands. And when you and I pull that together, what I find is that we have the ability to not make sense of our world, but to find joy in our world. We don't have the ability to be able to understand, but man, we can trust in the God who says, "I know." And I don't know about where your hope comes from. I really don't. I hope it comes from the relationship with Jesus Christ. But my hope comes simply in the fact that my God knows and holds my tomorrow. I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to focus on it. I don't need to be afraid of what I may see or afraid of what may come down the pike. Why? Because my God already knows. And because he knows, guess what? I'm going to be okay, no matter what it is. And so when we understand that and we look at that this morning, I want to think about the privilege we're going to see today. And I'm going to try my best today to define what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. Because that's something all my life I've heard. Well, walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit of God. And it's like, so what does that look like? What does that mean to be led by the Spirit of God? So we're going to study that tonight. And as we do that, realize that because of what we're remembering now, that's the only reason why we can even begin to think about being led by the Spirit of God. He's given that to us as a gift. He's given that to us as a privilege. And I'll say it this way before we start. As much as we looked at Veterans Day and as much as we look at those who have made it home and those who did not, how far removed we are from really showing appreciation of that in the world in which we live. Our country does not appreciate freedom anymore. It's taking advantage of the freedom. And my heart is burdened because I see the church doing the same thing to Christ. We don't exercise that freedom as much as we should. We're taking advantage of that freedom because we only go to Christ when it hurts. We only go to him when we can't do anything else. And so with that thought process, hopefully we can study through that today a little bit, but just think of the privilege that we have to be led by a God, a King of all kings and the Lord of all lords in our everyday life. He cares so much. He cares about the minute details of our lives. And that's more than maybe your neighbors do. That's more than some of the people around you do. God cares. God knows. And he is a God who can accomplish anything and everything according to his will. That's a God worth serving. That's a God worth wanting and a God worth loving. So as the gentlemen come this morning for our morning communion, again, just a reminder that as you guys come, as we realize that you can come partake with us. If you're not a member of the church, it's not about membership. This is about the kingdom of God. So come and partake with us this morning. Guys, we come to you this morning. We realize the important part of taking a moment and just examining ourselves before you. God, as I am praying, I trust each one is doing that today, that we just quietly come and ask the question, God, is there anything in my life right now? Is there anything going on that is a stumbling block between us? And if there is, I pray we deal with that. We take care of that. so that we can come to the table, we can come and partake and remember all that you've done for us. God, as we look at the bread, the body that was broken, Lord, we realize that that body was broken to a point that most men never would have made. The great statistic of the high percentage of the men who never made it off the beating post, never made it off the whipping post, they died there. But your son took it, survived that, and then hung on a cross for us. God, I just pray as we remember this bread and the body broken, that we do so with a gratefulness. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. As God continued to teach his disciples in the upper room, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Thus do in remembrance of him." God, as we continue to remember this morning the blood that was shed, Father, it began such a new dimension and definition of your love that we have yet to be able to explain, yet to be able to understand, that you loved us enough to put to the cross your son that was so undeserving, that did not do anything except faithfully obey you. But yet we know, God, that that is the only way that we could ever have the relationship that we have with you. Without the shedding of blood, his blood, there is no remission of sin. And God, I just pray as we never forget that, that we live a life that shows how much we appreciate that. And God, we just thank and praise you in your son's name. Amen. as Christ continued to teach in the upper room, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. This drink is often in remembrance of him." God, we just thank you and praise you for the remembrance that we have. And God, I pray, as we mentioned before, that as we remember what has been done, it encourages us in the present and it gives us hope in the future to know that you already have claimed victory in a world that doesn't understand. We thank you for that victory that we have, as we'll even see today, and studying your word. God, we thank you and we praise you in your son's name. Amen. Thank you, man. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to, we're going to preach. We're going to look at some things tonight, but I want to give you a little illustration to sort of understand, and some of you will find this, it's a little humorous way, but I'm going to pick the age between 8 to 10, little Johnny. I don't know why Johnny always gets picked on illustrations, but little Johnny, he always seems to be their illustration. He comes to church Sunday morning and has a Sunday school teacher that shares Christ with him, and he accepts Christ. And this little Johnny is told that by accepting Jesus into your heart, he comes and lives inside you. And then you're to listen to that still small voice, and he will lead you to do things right. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Monday morning, Johnny goes to school, and his teacher has allotted him the time, or all the students' time, to share what they learned on the weekend to sort of get them used to being up front, you know, and talking in front of people. And so Johnny's turn, and the teacher said, "Johnny, what did you do this weekend? What happened to you this weekend?" And Johnny says, "I've got a little man sitting inside me that I'm supposed to listen to the voices in my head." Isn't that what we tell them? How do we follow the Spirit of God? Well, that still small voice in Psalms 42:10. You know, they listen to that. And little Johnny ain't going to get it. And big Johnny ain't going to get it either. Because nothing has really been explained and told. How do we do this? And we're at this point of Scripture, and it's in the text, to define very clearly in verses 16, 17, and 18. We're going to look at three verses today, but there is so much in them that we're gonna get there. But I want to share that little illustration, because how easy is it for us as adults to realize the mindset of a child? I got a little man living in me, and I'm supposed to listen to the voices in my head. You know, it just listen to those concepts. And listen, it's humorous, but yet isn't that what we tell them? You know, just walk with the Spirit of God. What does that look like? Is there some little thing in front of me? And how do I know? How do I walk with the Spirit of God? How do I let the Spirit of God lead me? Well, it's interesting, and hopefully we can get this into some perspective today. And again, it's great to be back behind a pulpit, and I greatly appreciate Eric and his study last week, because to me, it just, again, him and I have been complimenting each other the last few weeks going through this. And you know, listen, that's what happens when you both teach the truth of the Word of God. Doesn't matter who's behind this pulpit. What matters is they preach the truth of the Word of God, because then it's the same. Then it just continual flow. So when we look at this morning, what we want to see, first of all, is I'm going to read these three verses, and then we'll go back and pick them apart. Verse 16 of chapter 5 in the book of Galatians. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh, lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And again, Paul's whole premise for this book, though this letter, was to tell them it was Christ and Christ alone. Don't go back to the law. The law is not going to save you. Listen, when we looked at the cup this morning, that cup is the new covenant, the New Testament. And because that cup is a new covenant, what it does is says you will be a child of God from the inside out. The law says you look like a child of God from the outside, hopefully in. And that's the difference. We can't let what we do determine whether we are saved or not. What we do determines whether we're saved or not. You got that? All right. I wanted to... real quick, crazy circle. Listen, what we do tells people whether we do have a heart changed, whether we do have Christ in our life. We don't do that to get the change. We do that to show the change. And that's the difference between the law and Christ. So he's still after it when he talks about this. So how, what is the key in your life and what is the key in my life that allows us to be able to live this life, to live that? Listen, I don't know about you, but I find it very difficult to live the life the Spirit of God wants me to live in the world in which we're living. Because the world was unfair and it is becoming more unfair. It is becoming more crazy. In fact, the world, if you just take a moment and look at 5 minutes of the news, the world, the whole world is in complete chaos. Now, we've always had a section here and there, but man, the whole world's that way right now. And so we know there are things going on. We know there are things happening. And listen, if you know what's happening, it's too late. It already happened. There are so many things going that you don't know that will only be revealed. But you know what? God knows. God knows. God has it. God has the last chapter written, and we understand it. So when we look at this, first thing we want to see when we understand this is in verse 16, Paul states to walk by the Spirit. What does it mean to walk? The Greek there is in a present imperative. And what it says is that it is, you are to keep on walking. This isn't a one and done. This isn't I'm saved now and I'm going to be okay. This is a, you need to continue every day to walk. Why? God knew how hard it would be for you and I to live the life that he's died for us to live. He knew what the world was going to be like. In fact, Kim and I were talking about this and I said, you know, you look back at Sodom and Gomorrah and could it be, remember I said that, could it be a foreshadowing of our world today? Could it be a foreshadowing that our world gets so caught up in the evil and the wickedness of the world that there are very few faithful? Could it be that Lot was a representation of the church? Could it be that his wife was once coming out, turned back away from God and got nailed with the rest of them? Could it be our world is in complete chaos because our world has completely rejected Christ? You see, I can't take you to the verse and prove that. But in my study, what a picture it shows. Because again, God is going to destroy this world, isn't he? Why is he going to destroy it? Because of his children. It's not because of the evilness. Romans chapter 1 and 2 says he already gave them up to the depravity of their mind. God's going to destroy this world because of that evil, but he also is going to come and say, listen, you guys aren't representing very well. You guys aren't doing this very well. So what we find, and we see that in the illustration, but to walk means to keep on walking. God said, I know it's going to be difficult for you. I know it's going to be hard. So the only way that you're going to wake up every day and end the day faithful is to walk with me. You have to walk with me. And so the importance of that, I think it's very important as we realize that, because the next phrase we have is to fulfill. And that's interesting because that word there basically means to gratify, complete an outward action. So what this verse is saying and what Paul is saying to this group of churches and saying to us today is that if we don't walk in the Spirit of God, there is no way that we are going to not fall into the temptations of this world. We will always fall into the temptation of this world unless we are walking every day with the Spirit of God. He said that because he knew the truth of that. He knew how hard it would be for you and I to maintain. And so when we look at these two words in that verse, verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit, keep on walking, don't stop, every day you got to take care of it, and ye shall not gratify the self. You shall not complete outward action the way the world lives. You see how this is, listen, this is the result of walking in the Spirit. We haven't found out how to do that yet. This is the result of it's saying if we walk with the Spirit, we have the Spirit of God, we continue to do that, then you're not going to gratify the desires that you have. You're not going to gratify or complete an outward action. And listen, it's very important, because I do not know anybody that has ever walked this earth except Jesus Christ to do this correctly. We're all sinners. We all fall short to the glory of God. There is nobody above this today, or ever was, or ever will be. Some have a handle on it better. Why? Because they're following the Spirit of God better every day. It's not because of who they are. It's not because they got special connections. Listen, this was written to everyone, wasn't it? It's not written just to the few. As we look at this and we see where Paul is coming from this, it sets the stage. This is the result we want. Because what is Paul describing? Paul is describing that if you walk, if you continue to walk, then there is a process. He's describing a process. And I want to look at this a minute, because when we talk about the process, what that does is, okay, if there's a process, that means there are some steps in this. There are some action that I need to take care of. Listen, walking in the Spirit of God and being led by the Spirit of God is not an automatic deal. It's not something you're going to do just because you're a Christian. It's not something you're going to do simply because, well, I was told that once I'm saved, I got that little man in me, and I listen to the voice. Listen, it's not going to work that way. I wish it was that easy. I really do. If it was that easy, I wouldn't have such a hard time every day. You see, it's not easy because why? It takes a process in my life. Now, the process is what's interesting. Because what is the process to walk in the Spirit of God every day? What does it look like? What does it mean? And quickly, I want to go through this process. Won't be able to turn to all of these. But I want to first go to this. The gridwork of our mind are understood in three parts. Now, this is not going to be a study on the right and the left. This is not going to be a study on men from Mars and women from Venus and all that stuff. That's a whole nother sermon that you got to be real brave to preach. But anyway, what this is a very basic understanding of what I think the process is. Because in this process, first of all, we need to understand that there is a common sense. Okay? The grid work of your mind. Everything that comes in your eyes, everything that comes in your ears, everything you touch, everything you step on, everything that touches your body hits the grid work of your mind. And it goes through, first of all, common sense. Scripture says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, right? Psalms 119. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Therefore, common sense tells me whether I am a boy, girl, man, or woman. If that doesn't work, glorified or glory in how you were made, God made you, check the parts, okay? Seriously. I mean, that sounds very crude, but listen. We need to understand that common sense is no longer running the minds. Common sense is gone. It's not how I feel, how I think, or how somebody encourages me to be. It's how you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. That's all that matters. Common sense. The next level that we find is common right and wrong. Listen, it's not right for you to steal something from somebody. Everybody knows that. Everybody understands, saved and unsaved, what the common right and wrong is. It's instilled in us as we are created by an amazing God. It's instilled in us so that we know when we're doing right. We know what we're doing wrong. It comes through our conscience. It comes through our thinking. Not our emotions, not our feeling, but our thinking. We know we're right and wrong. But the third aspect is the moral right and wrong. You see, when you look at the moral right and wrong, this is the important part. Because now that we have the Spirit of God, now that we have a way in which it's the moral right and wrong, that we have one step above the world. We have one step above what the unsaved world has, because we have a Spirit of God in us that helps us understand the moral right and wrong. Listen, you have a right to, but is it right to? Listen, this is what you and I have elevated for us. And so in our grid work of our thinking, when I look at something, common sense, right or wrong, is it morally right before God? Being led by the Spirit of God means how I think. It's not a feeling. It's not a still small voice in my head. What it is an understanding of what God would want, understanding of who God is. So this moral compass that we have now has been influenced by God, because we got two natures in us, whether we believe that or not. Some believe differently, but we have two natures in us, and that means we have two different desires, two different wills, two different ways of handling life. And so the old nature has one way, the new nature, the new, because of Christ, we have another way. And so now we have this inward battle going on completely every day of our life. And that's what he is saying. If we walk in the Spirit, then we will not lust or fulfill or outward express what? The lust of the flesh. That's the other nature. That's the other desire. Listen, it comes through your thinking. That's where the Spirit of God reigns. Your heart has been surrendered to Christ. Your mind has to be surrendered to the Spirit of God. If your mind is not surrendered to God, your heart will not override it. Because your desires of the flesh will win every time. Every time. There's no way. And listen, Scripture goes back and forth between the heart and the mind, heart and the mind. It says the same thing. And I realize that. But I truly believe that there are many Christians who have given their heart over to God, and their mind has not been given over to the Spirit of God, and therefore their decisions they make are not correct. Their life they live is not correct. Their ability to say, I have a right to, but it is it right to, is not there, because they constantly choose to be a part of, to be among things that they shouldn't be. It's not, I can't quit. It's because you can't surrender your mind. You have to think. How would we know this to be true? First of all, we have to understand, what is Paul describing a process? First part of that process, 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away, all things have become new. All things have become new. There is another way of doing things. We don't have to do them all the old way. We don't have to do them how they were before. So first of all, in this process of understanding the Spirit of God in our mind, we realize that there is another level that has been granted to us because of Christ in our life. There's a different way of thinking because of Christ. We don't have to think like the world thinks. We don't have to do what the world does. We don't have to be a part of that, because we have Christ that lives within us. The second thing we find in this process is 4 points. Romans 12:1-2. By the renewing of your mind, you are transformed into something different. It's by the renewing of your mind. You're not conforming to the world. It all goes back to the mind. You do a study on this through the New Testament, and you will find that it is the mind that controls the action. We see things that aren't right. Doesn't take very long going down a road to see a billboard, or take very long to watch a video, or take very long to watch a sports program. It doesn't take long to watch anything on our TV system that all of a sudden, like, whoa! So what are you going to do with that now? Put it through your grid work. Common sense says I shouldn't do that. Common sense says it's right and wrong, says it's wrong for me to do that. The moral law says God says don't do that. Work it through the grid work. The problem is we don't think for ourselves anymore. We live in a generation, we live in a world right now that wants you to stop thinking so that they can tell you how to think. And listen, that's how the younger generation has been duped. That's how we find all the protests. That's how we find all the stuff going on. Why? Because they're not thinking through. They're not realizing the result of. They're in it for the moment. They're in it for whatever reason, but they're not thinking. Child of God, today, church, we have the ability to think through. We have the ability to think about what God would want. Think about what God says. We got to use it. We got to use our thought process. By the renewing of our minds, we are not conforming to the world, but we are transformed into a new being in our minds. Third thing, Philippians 4:8. Paul lists a whole list of things. Think on these things, things that are pure, things that are good, things that are righteous, things that please God. Think on these things. Why is that so important? Because if you think on anything else, it's going to lead you down to anything else. The mind is so important. The mind is what God says you have to also surrender when you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. One of the three things that we tell all the individuals that we've been able to help is, listen, you have to change three things in your life: people, places, and things. If you do not change the way you think of people, places, and things, then you're never going to make it out of where you're at. Because where you're at is because of people, places, and things. If you don't change them, you're never going to change you. How do you think? How do you process through the good work of your mind? Philippians 4:8 says, here's what you need to think on. Here's how you need to think. Then the last one, John 14:26. God is teaching. And I'm going to turn to that one because it is very, very, all of them are very important, but I want to read that one. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who is the Father, will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have taught you. How are we led by the Spirit of God? We're led by Him recalling to our mind what we know about Him, what we know about our God. First of all, I'm going to teach you those things. I'm going to teach you those things, and I'm going to teach you how important it is to have a moral compass. I'm going to teach you how important it is to think differently than what the world thinks. I'm going to teach you how to represent me in a crooked and perverse generation, 1 Peter 4. I'm going to teach you these things. And when I teach you these things, listen, how many of you remember everything you learned last week? I just went last week. How about back when you went to school? Some of you, I'm not sure if you remember where your school is, let alone if you remember what they taught you. If not, the Spirit of God saying, remember, 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 He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Remember how much He loves you. Remember, remember. The Spirit of being led by the Spirit of God means, in my mind, I'm going to remember what I know about Him. I'm going to let Him lead me through the temptation. I'm going to let Him lead me through my struggles of life. I'm going to allow Him to simply say, listen, you need to get a handle on this and remember, put my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. My burden is rest. Oh, God, I've been going on my own. I've been trying to fix this by myself, and I didn't come under your yoke. He just led me. He just led me. The Spirit of God led me back to where I should be. You see, it's not that hard, but it's confusing when you still think you're waiting for that little man in your head and listening to those voices. The only voice you should hear is your own thinking about what you already know about God. And that's what Paul's process is. That's what he's trying to teach. This process, listen, we could preach a Sunday on every one of these processes. It's important to understand, because we know that Paul is simply saying, listen, if you do not want to do what the old man wants to do, you need to keep this in your life every day. That's what he said in the beginning of 16. Every day, walk continually, keeping on walking with this process in your mind. So hopefully if you haven't jotted these down, you'll remember them. Yeah, good luck with that. Very important, okay? So second thing we need, Paul describes the conflict within. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. First of all, we need to realize, Paul says the flesh, nature at birth, versus Spirit, nature at accepting Christ. You've got two of them in there fighting. You've got a battle raging in your mind and in your heart that says, go for it. Better not. Why not? God said so. And we have fun with that sometimes. You put the little devil on one side and the little angel on the other. That's not even close to the battle that comes on. Because I don't know about you, but there are battles in our lives. There are battles that we want to. And you know, a lot of the battle is, and be very transparent, sometimes it's like, all right, when's it my turn? I'm doing all this and helping all this and being all this and doing all, when's it my turn? You know what that battle is? It's not about you. It's about what God's called you to do. My turn isn't until I'm dead. Then I get a turn to rest. Listen, it's not about the world wants. It's not about the world's stuff. It's not about acquiring. It's not about having. It's about, God, what do you want me to do? Lead me into the calling you've given me. Put me in a place where you want me to be. And God, it's not about me and what I want. We are going to, and I'm not a prophet, I'm not predicting, we are going to be going into a survival mode in Christianity here before too long. It's not about how pretty the church is. It's not about how big the church is. We're just trying to survive keeping the faith in the evil world we live in. Listen, you better be in survival mode. You better know how to keep the two of these separate in your thought process. Second thing we see in this verse is so you cannot do what is right. Why is the battle raging? God, why do I keep struggling with this? God, why do I keep having this problem in my life? Why does this bother me so much? Why can't I just stop doing what I'm doing? Why does it? It's because Satan doesn't want you to do what's right. You've got a sinful nature in you that you're going to battle with all the rest of your life. Until we go to Rome or 1 Corinthians 15, when then we die. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Death, where is thy victory? The corruptible must put on incorruption. Listen, until that day comes, you're bad. You're just bad. You're evil. You've got the opportunity to do all the wrong that you see in this world. Don't think anybody is above the wrong. We all are there. So, we can't do what is right because sometimes we're battling this battle. The natures against each other. And we have to be aware of that and be careful in the process. The next thing we see, Paul, how now shares the truth. This battle raging in verse 17. Verse 18 says, but if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. How important it is to realize that Paul simply says in that verse that we are not under the law. Why? Because this is about a heart and a mind issue. And I don't know about you, but the law has never corrected my heart. In fact, it's made me want to figure out how to get away with it even better the next time. Oh, you're all looking at me like I'm the only one. Come on now. Really? Y'all try to figure out, listen, my new GPS thing says, warning, there is a speed check. Okay, thanks. And as soon as you threw it, don't kid me now, come on. I traveled from Gatlinburg last weekend and four times that happened to me. But anyway, we need to realize how important this is because the law never shows us. It never changes us. In fact, Paul says in Romans 8, the law showed me how much I need Christ. It didn't give me Christ. It just showed me how much I need him. Paul comes back to the argument again. First of all, we find if you possess or process your thinking through the word of God, you have victory over the old man. You have to be able to process your thinking through the word of God. That is the only way you can be led by the Spirit is if you have something in here for him to lead you with. That's why reading your Bible every day is important. That's why studying the word of God is important. That's why knowing God is important. Why? So there's something to work with. Now, I've been told several times in my life, they're struggling to find something to work with. But it didn't have nothing to do with the Bible. We need to have something there. Because the more that we think we can go through this life on our own, the more that we think we can handle life, the more that we don't approach God every day. Remember, walking, continuing on, every day renewing. Because why? There is a conflict. And if your life has no conflict in it that the world is showing, we've got problems. If the Spirit of God in me is not conflicting with what I'm watching, if it's not conflicting with what I'm hearing, if it's not conflicting with what I'm speaking, if it's not conflicting with what I'm seeing, I've got a problem. Because the Spirit of God no longer is in me. It's not working. Because I'm falling to the world. There has to be a conflict in your life. Why does it always seem like it happens to me? Because there's a conflict. When you step out and say, God, you know, with your strength, God, I am going to follow you. God, I'm going to do everything. Be ready. The conflict's coming. Be ready. Because Satan doesn't want you to have that. Satan wants you to continue in and do what you need to do. Second thing we find from this verse is the blood of Christ that gets you there. And it's the Spirit of God that guides you through. That is called the journey of being led by the Spirit of God. Christ gets you to that point by having Christ in your life, by having accepting the blood of Christ. We now have a level in our grid of our thinking that we now can be say, okay, this belongs to God now, and therefore, whatever I'm going to think, I'm going to know, I'm going to study what He wants, because then when I face the issues in life, I'm going to know. I'm going to be led. I'm going to know what God wants. And when you start going the wrong direction, you're going to have a conflict. And when that conflict begins, you better just back up, take a deep breath, and say, okay, God, something's not right. And guess what? It's going to be you 100% of the time, because God is never wrong. So that conflict starts, back up and say, okay, what am I thinking? What am I doing? Why am I involved with? What's going on that I need to just reassess here a little bit? That's being led by the Spirit of God. I'll close this down this morning. I apologize for like racing through this. You really set me up. I didn't preach last week. And then I had a half hour this week. You set me up. But anyway, I enjoy it. I have just a couple questions for you in the takeaway this morning. First of all, who controls the process? Your way of thinking or God's? That's it. Which one of those? Who controls your process of thinking? You're either being led by the Spirit of God, or you're being led by the spirit of your old nature. One of them is working, because they don't stop. One of them is working today. And my prayer is, as Paul was saying, listen, you guys are going back into the law. You're going back underneath the outside evidence. It's not about the outside, because the Spirit of God doesn't lead you by the tie. He leads you by the mind and the heart, the inside. He doesn't lead you by how impressive you look. He doesn't lead you by all the things you can do for God. He leads you by your heart and your mind. It's all on the inside. Because I am convinced, and I've said it many times, and I'll say it until I die, when God changes the heart, He changes the t-shirt. The problem is we go back to put on the old t-shirt. The problem is we want to go back and wear the old clothes. Now, I do realize the bell bottoms are coming back. Not for this guy, but they're coming back. It's amazing how things continue in a circle, doesn't it? Even in our life. Listen, none of us is strong enough to do this on our own. None of us. And my prayer is that we finally get a little bit of an understanding of what it means to be led by the Spirit of God, and we let the Spirit of God lead us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You for the study this morning. We thank You for how we're able to just dissect some of Your scriptures to teach us. And God, I pray as we do that this morning, that we do that in a way that reveals to us what is controlling the process. And God, every time we go on our own, every time we think that we have it, every time we think we can come up with the right idea, we can come up with the right game plan, we can have the right answers, we don't. God, every decision, every moment of our life needs to be put through the good work of the moral compass that we now have called the Spirit of God. Father, I pray that as we do that, that we realize maybe some of the things that need changed. God, we just give You the glory and the praise in Your Son's name. Amen. There may be some here today, maybe you're not sure about that grid work. Maybe you don't.